Thank you, Sophia. It's nice to see you. And to be able to worship the Lord together, it's always a joy. And we are in the book of Ruth, and you'll notice the Bible reading was from Psalm, but we want to tie in some from Psalm 27. And you recognize that there's some bad things happening to the psalmist. And in our story, we're going to recognize some bad things have happened to Naomi. And anyone who's ever experienced some bad things that have happened in their life, you'll find a lot of help in our passage today. And what we're going to do is just take some time to go to the Lord in prayer and trust the Lord with all of our heart and to hear the voice of Jesus Christ once again as He calls us to follow Him. We have said in past weeks we will be faithful to pray for those who are in lockdown, and there's still a lot of people in lockdown, a lot of churches do not get to meet like we get to meet right now. And let's praise God for that and pray for them and pray for God's grace. And I'm reminded again, if you think about it, a year ago, there wasn't even a vaccine out. And God is gracious and God will help us. We'll trust in Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Just bring whatever concerns, burdens you have, but praise Him for who He is and for His love for you. Lord God Almighty, we do thank You that You are worthy of all worship, honor, praise. All that we give to You, You are worthy of it. You are holy, and even in that great throne room in heaven right now, the living creatures, the angels, the multitudes surround You, and they proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And even now, we want to join in that praise and adoration. Lord, we thank You that You are good and that we can trust in You in difficult days, even in days of pandemic. We will put our hope and trust in You. Lord, we thank You for many answers to prayer. But Lord, we also recognize there are those who are going through very difficult times, and it's hard physically, emotionally, spiritually. We pray especially for Your church in the eastern states and those who are in lockdown. Lord, we just pray again for the gospel to go out, and that even in this time of pandemic, the gospel would be strong and bring comfort and hope to those in need. And Jesus, You are the light of the world. And I pray that Your church would be faithful to You, that You would draw men and women and children to Yourself. And so, Lord, we thank You for the gospel and the power of the gospel. We're not ashamed of it. It is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. And so, Lord, for all who are listening to me right now, I thank You for those who believe, for those who do not believe. I pray through the power of Your Spirit, You would draw them to Yourself. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Just a couple things before we start. Ruth, again, tag on to the announcements. So, Nourish at Subi. One of the interesting things is if you buy a commentary on Ruth, you often get Esther with it. So, I'm going to be teaching Esther at Nourish with Linda Lee. So, I'm really excited about it because the more I've been reading in Esther, I'm just amazed, and what we're going to do is we're going to look for God in Esther, and we're going to find Him, and so it's going to be really good, and I'm looking forward to that. So I encourage you to sign up for that. Next week, some of you may know, that will be the last public ministry that Deborah Tan will have with us in her current role. So I want to encourage you to be here, and we want to say thank you to her, and I want you to join with me next week in saying thank you to her. So we have a lot on. When bad things happen to good people. Now, there was a book, came out in the 80s, I believe, by a Jewish rabbi, Rabbi Kushner. When bad things happen to good people, and he just gave some stories, and very sensitive, about people who are good people, and bad things happen. And one of the things I want to tell you is, I've lived long enough to tell you, absolutely, bad things happen to good people. Now, I don't mean good, perfect, like God perfect or good, but I mean good people. People who are godly, people have great character, hardworking integrity, and bad things happen to good people. And so what he did was he tried to compile stories and then come up with something that might help people. Now, this was his conclusion. When it all came down to it, he basically said, there is a God, but that God is limited in power. In other words, random things happen to good people and bad people, but especially good people. Random things happen, and God cannot stop it. So don't be angry with God. He is limited in power, but he has never-ending love. Now, I hope when you hear that theology, you recognize that doesn't sound like the Bible to me, and it's not. That's not what the Bible teaches. But what he was doing is basically saying, don't blame God. He loves you. Don't blame God. What I want to do is recognize once again the sovereignty of the living God. He is sovereign over all the world. He created the world, and he is sovereign over all things. But we still need to deal with this question when bad things happen to good people. How do we deal with that? Last week, I talked and gave an illustration about Amy Carmichael. Now, Amy Carmichael, that missionary to India who went for 55 years and served impoverished and often young girls who were going to be as temple prostitutes, and she saved hundreds, over thousands of them in her time. She saved them. She is a good person. She was there for 55 years. The last 20 years of her ministry there, she was bedridden. She's a good person, but something bad happened to her. She had a fall, and she was basically in bed for the last 20 years of her life. She's a good person. Many of us have experienced this in our lives. 10 years ago, my brother died. He's a good person with the Lord, good. But that was bad for me, bad for Tracy, bad for Paige and Carson, bad for many of us. A little over a year ago, Joseph Tan died. That left a void in my life, just like when Graham died. And it's not filled. It's just there. Good people, but bad things happen. How do we deal with that? We can't blow that off or pretend that it's not an issue for us. How do we think about God? How do we deal with it for ourselves? And how do we help others? So if you're with me on that, and you recognize that's a genuine issue, when the rabbi spoke to that issue, it resonated with a lot of people. That became a bestseller. It resonated with people. The problem is, it wasn't a biblical theology. So now we need to go back and say, what is the biblical theology? Look with me, beginning at Ruth chapter 1, verse 18. And we're in narrative. We're picking up a story. But what we're doing is recognizing that these stories are not just interesting stories, and Ruth is not just a romantic story. It's something that can speak into our lives and help us to deal with real world issues where we are today. Ruth chapter 1, beginning verse 18, I'm going to ask you to stand as I read from the Word of God. And hear the Word of the Lord. In our previous sermons, we've recognized that Ruth and Naomi are now coming back from Moab. Moab is not God's country. It is not the covenant land. But Naomi, who is a Jew, is bringing this Moabite woman, Ruth, back, her daughter-in-law. Verse 18, when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. In other words, stopped urging her to stay back in Moab. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. The harvest begins. You may be seated. I'm going to give you a couple points, and again, I want to pull some biblical theology, not just from this passage, but looking at other passages, but it invites us to investigate, and that's what we want to do. The first point is this: bitterness towards God never helps the situation. And I want to deal with that because we were just looking at a few verses, and I find it interesting, of all the commentaries I was reading, spend a lot of time on these verses, and I want to spend more time on these verses because there's something we really need to deal with. We need to deal with where Naomi is and her attitude towards God, and is that the right attitude? So she returns with Ruth, and Ruth is not really, she's not really the focal point. But when the women see Naomi, they say, "Can this be Naomi?" Now, we know it's been at least 10 years. They look at Naomi. She has lost her husband. She's lost her two sons. She wears probably that weight of devastation and loss. "Don't call me Naomi." Naomi means pleasant, perhaps sweet. "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Bitter, bitter. My life is not pleasant. My life is not sweet. It's bitter. I don't even want to hear the name Naomi anymore because that doesn't represent who I am. She says, "When I went, I was Naomi, but now life is bitter. When I left, life was full, but now I come back empty." I want you to notice the mention of God, because God is certainly present, at least referred to in this passage, by Naomi. She believes in God, by the way, but notice how she refers to God. And you'll notice there's a chiastic, so you see the Almighty, and then at the very end, the Almighty, and then in between, the Lord, and using the covenant name of the Lord. So the Almighty, she says, has made my life very bitter. The Lord has brought me back empty. The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. I'm telling you, this woman believes in an Almighty God. She believes that God is involved in this world and not just a distant God, not just wringing his hands and saying, I can't do anything there. She is saying, in essence, God has done this to me. Now, for many of us, that language is really shocking, and that's why I want to spend some time on this, because this language is shocking to us, and that's why we pretend, let's just not pay attention to it. She's an emotional woman, something else. But there's a theistic view here, a theistic worldview that's represented. She is basically saying it's not chance, it's not luck, it's not fate. The Almighty, the Lord, the Almighty. The fundamental issue we need to deal with is when bad things happen to good people. And Rabbi Kushner says, let's just protect God. This is just random, Naomi, so you don't blame God. Is he really almighty, and is he really good, and how do we understand that? How do we reconcile that? What is the text trying to teach me is what we need to ask when we look at texts like these. Look over at Romans chapter 15, beginning verse 4. And this is what the Apostle Paul says: "For everything that was written in the past," we're talking about Scripture, "was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." So even here, we're saying, what does God want me to understand so that I might persevere and have hope? I want to talk about providence again because it's an important term, and I'm going to give you a phrase or at least a definition and then some biblical teaching on it. But providence, God who created everything also upholds everything. He directs, regulates, and governs every creature, action, and thing from the greatest to the least by his completely wise and holy providence. Here's the biblical teaching. The Bible says this. He makes the rain to fall and the sun to shine. He raises up kings and kingdoms, and he puts them down. He feeds the birds of the air, and he clothes the grass of the field. He numbers the hairs on our head and the days of our lives. He is not an absentee landlord, but he governs the world. And so Naomi is absolutely correct in saying he's in charge of this thing. And my life is bitter. She is right about that. Look at Psalm 139, just one verse, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. This is a psalm of David. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He's already got it figured out, by the way. Even before I was born, my days, your days, there's a number, I don't know what they are, but there is a number. God is in charge, and Naomi is right about that. But how should we respond to bitter providence? Naomi has a response. And some of you may fault me because I am not going to agree with her response. I agree that God is almighty, and he is sovereign. But I do not agree with how she responds. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to get back with some of you are going to say, well, she couldn't have Ephesians 4. That's in the New Testament. And I get it. But we're going to get back with that in just a moment. But Ephesians 4, verse 31. And here's what we need to understand very clearly. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. If she's saying, call me, my life bitter, God says, you get rid of bitterness. Now, some people, and I know what they're thinking, well, God's a big boy. He can handle my anger. He can handle my bitterness. And I'm telling you, yeah, he can. He can handle that. The responsibility, though, for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, is different, though. It's not a matter that he can't handle my bitterness. The point is, I'm told to put aside all bitterness. Now, we're going to go back to Naomi. In Naomi's day, she did have scripture. She did have the books of Moses. And here's what we see. And this is not, by the way, a minor passage in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in the five books of Moses. This is not a minor situation. It's where Moses receives the Ten Commandments, and God speaks to Moses and reveals himself once again to Moses. So look over at Exodus chapter 34, beginning verse 5. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there and proclaimed his name, the Lord, the covenant God. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, notice the Lord. Here's who he is, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. If you're going to tell me you have a right to be angry at God because of some circumstance in your life, what about the God of the Bible who is compassionate and gracious to you and to me? Do you understand the gospel? And I tell people, I'm not going to be angry at God. Yeah, bad things happen. Grief, sorrow, sadness. But I choose not to be angry at God because he's the God who loves me in the gospel of Jesus Christ more than I've ever been loved, ever could be loved. Why would I be angry with him? Now, we're going to deal with some things again, and I'm going to point out, I pointed out there was Rabbi Kushner's book. Philip Yancey wrote a number of books. This is about 3,000 years after Naomi, but He wrote this book called Where is God When It Hurts? And it's interesting. He wrote it when he was in his 20s, and then he revised it about 20 years later. But the whole point is this. It is a relevant question. Where is God when it hurts? And sometimes he feels distant. I know that. I understand that. So there is sympathy there. But he is not absent. And he is still the God of the Bible. He is still compassionate. He is still forgiving. And his loving kindness is forever. The second book that Yancey wrote, because there's a, again, once you write a book called Where is God When It Hurts, he wrote a second book a number of years later called Disappointment with God. Again, trying to understand why people are bitter or angry at God. And again, I know Naomi didn't get to read these books. I did. But the point is, God has revealed himself, and that's the God we believe in. And what are we called to do? What are we called to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and being. That's the first commandment, by the way. Where does it say you get to be bitter with him? Angry. It's just not there. He is God, and he's worthy of my worship regardless of the circumstances. I'm going to give you a chart, that chart I gave you on Providence. I'm going to give you that again. And it had three things as it relates to Providence. So maybe if we can see that, there it is. Okay. So one thing, when we think about biblical providence, embrace human responsibility. God is not responsible for my sin. We'll talk more about that type of stuff later, but reject fatalism. God is always in control. He remains sovereign. But then that third one is really important to me. We have to accept mystery. I cannot fully understand the ways of God. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. I'm not God. I can't explain it, and I won't explain it away. Sometimes all I can do is enter into the story, into the sorrow, and into the grief. But I don't know. I can't answer that. When we ask this question, why me? Most of the time, God is not going to explain it. When bad things happen to good people, we don't want to be Job's friends and say, well, you must be a really bad person. That's not the point. It's certainly not the point of Job. It's not the point I want to make. What I want to make is this: bitterness towards God never helps a situation. It will not help you. It doesn't help Naomi. What Naomi doesn't see is God is still on his throne, and he is still gracious, merciful, kind, loving. She's going to see that by the end of the story, by the way. But right now, she just can't see it. You and I don't have any excuse either. We need to see it. We have a loving Heavenly Father. How do I know Jesus loves me? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. The Bible is God's word, and it tells me so. What happens when I experience bad things? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I just hold on to that. Here's the second point. Trusting God in dark times is our only hope. You want to have hope again? Romans 15, why is it written? To lead us towards hope. Where does it lead us? Towards trusting in God. Verse 22 of Ruth 1 again. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. I see some good things in that verse, by the way. I think some really good things. Naomi says, I went away full, but I came back empty. And Ruth is standing right next to her. Do you get that? I mean, she's standing right there. I had a full life, and now I've got nothing. And Ruth is standing right next to her. That's how Ruth is being treated. You notice the verse there. It says, accompanied by Ruth. The narrator tells us that Ruth is there, but the women of Bethlehem don't seem to notice Ruth. And Naomi doesn't recognize Ruth and say, but you know, I've got this daughter-in-law next to me who is pledged in her generosity and said, where you go, I will go. Your people, my people. Your God, my God. She is coming, but that's not there. What is Naomi thinking? All I can think is God has made my life empty, bitter. How is Ruth treated? I started thinking about that. In some sense, you know, Ruth is treated like a facial pimple. Just think about that for a moment. A facial pimple. Yeah, it's there in clear view, but you don't want to draw a lot of attention to it, right? That's the typical way we deal with these things. And it's not really polite to talk about it or point it out. That's what's going on with Ruth. This is what one commentator says, Ian Duguid. He says, there almost seems to have been an unspoken communal conspiracy not to mention the Moabitess, not to mention Ruth. Now, the point I want to bring out is this. Ruth is going to be an amazing blessing. If you read to the end of the story, these same women are going to say to Naomi, Naomi, you need to understand something here. You have a daughter-in-law, Ruth, and she's better to you than seven sons. Seven, that complete perfect number. She's better. But right now, she's a facial pimple. We just don't want to talk about it. Yeah, she's there, but we just don't want to acknowledge it. There's anything good there. Naomi's blind to God's grace. Ruth is going to be ignored by Naomi. He is not going to be ignored. She is not going to be ignored by God. What's happening in this passage is this. This is some pleasant rays of grace. So Naomi doesn't even want the name pleasant anymore, but there's some really pleasant things that you'd notice just in this one verse. So in verse 6, I'm going to go back there. We know the Lord has given food to his people, verse 6. But just three observations from verse 22. First, Bethlehem. Did you notice that? I mean, that should ring a few bells, right, when you hear the word Bethlehem. For most of us, when we hear the word Bethlehem, there's a sense of affection there. Even if you've never been there, you know, that's the city of David. And by the way, that's where my Lord Jesus Christ was born. And so we hear Bethlehem, and already there's an affection towards what's going on there because they've arrived in Bethlehem. The second thing is it's barley harvest. In other words, there's food. There's provisions. There was a time of famine, but there's food. There's provisions. Who gets credit for that? The God who sends the rain, the God who causes the sun to shine, the God who provides for his people. God gets credit for that. And finally, notice it was at the beginning of the barley harvest. It's not over. In fact, you're not getting in the middle. You're getting at the very beginning. You're at the beginning. There's hope there. Bethlehem, barley harvest, the beginning of it. There's hope. But the greatest hope is the person who's being ignored. God is going to use Ruth to make Naomi's life full again. Isn't that amazing? God is not angry, and we do not need to be angry at him. Look over at Psalm 27, verse 10. Again, picking up this, I know, is a psalm of David. Ruth is the great grandmother of David, so Naomi would be the great-great-grandmother of David. So this wasn't around, I know, but she had sufficient revelation. But here's what David says in verse 10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. That's how I think about the Lord. Even if there's bitter circumstances in my life, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path. Because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes or false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. Here's what I'm going to say. This is where I'm going to stake my my faith right here. Here's my confidence. I'm going to stake it in the ground. I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So what do I need to do when I believe in a good God, even in times of bad times, bad circumstances, even in times of pandemic, I believe in a good God. What do I do? Verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. That's what you do. So there's no point in being bitter at God because he's my hope, he's my salvation, he's the one who has loved me in Christ Jesus, my Lord. No, I'm going to worship him. I may not understand everything that's going on in the world, and I may not understand all the evil and all the bad things that may appear random to some people, but I still believe in a sovereign God. And yet I believe in a good God. So here's the thing. For Rabbi Kushner, he would say, well, you know, God is limited in power, but never ending in his love. For Naomi, she appears to be saying, God is almighty, God is all-powerful, but his love is certainly lacking. What the Word of God tells us is this: here is my God. He is all-powerful. He is God. And his love never ends. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You trust in the Lord. That's hope. I told you, when I'm dealing with this type of topic, there's a lot of things that you come through your mind throughout the week, and you just, for me, I'm meditating on it, thinking about it, and thinking about those times when bad things happen to good people. And I'm going to tell you about one, because we had a woman in our church who was our director of children's ministry. She was very much loved in the church in America by her volunteers, because she just had a servant's heart. And the kids loved her, and she was a faithful servant. And so to be on my staff, I just thought, boy, I'm blessed to have Paula on my staff. One day she comes in my office, and she says, she explains that there's a medical condition. She doesn't even fully understand it, but she's going to have to step off the staff. Later on, her husband, this is probably weeks later, because they hadn't fully diagnosed it, but it was extremely rare, a neurological disorder was going to happen, and he said, Ben, let me explain how this goes down. This is the way it works. Paula she's going to deteriorate. Eventually, she's going to be in a wheelchair, bedridden. She will not be able to feed herself, she will not be able to speak eventually, and then she will die. It'll be about 2 years, but that'll be what it is. That's exactly what happened. It's tough to watch. It is tough. Don't ask me to explain it. But what I'm going to do is this. I am going to trust in God for Paula, for good people when bad things happen. I will trust in the Lord and wait upon him. And when he speaks, he will always speak in loving kindness. I cannot fully explain it. That's the point. One of the things that her daughter told me was that at one point she came to Paula and said, Paula, you know, I guess she said mom, but you know, mom, do you ever ask why me? And Paula responded in this way. She said, well, why not me? She wasn't going to explain it in any way. She just understood that she could trust in the Lord. And she did. Trusting in God in dark times is our only hope. Our only hope. Trust in the Lord. If you're going through difficult times, if you feel empty, bitter, whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to look at this passage. I'm not going to ask you to be Naomi, but I'm asking you to trust the Lord. Pray with me. Our Father, you are our only hope in life and death. Your word tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No illness, no pandemic, no disease. Not even death itself separates us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is in this gospel that we hope and put our trust. Father, all of us, the more we live life, we will see bad things happen to good people, people we love and care about. Lord, I hope, I pray that our message is always Jesus Christ, always love, always sensitive, but true to who you are, almighty, never-ending love, the Lord, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And so we worship you in Christ's name.